You go into your shower feeling tired, but as soon as you reach for the Irish Spring, your day immediately gets better. That crisp, fresh, unmistakable Irish Spring scent zings your brain and awakens your senses. So when you finally emerge from the shower 37 minutes later because you pay the water bill so you can stay in there as long as you want, you're ready to take on the day and smell great doing it. Irish Spring body wash and bar soap. Fresh, green, Irish. Shop now at a store near you.
Hey guys, you know what this playground could use? A wine country, huh?
A redwood forest would be cool.
Ski slopes!
Wait! Did we just invent California?
Discover why California is the ultimate playground at visitcalifornia.com.
At JCPenney, fashion counts for everybody and every body. The weather is getting warmer and it's time to swap my winter layers for fun, vibrant, and cool clothing. With so many fun things happening this spring, like Mother's Day and the Wind Down Tour, it's hard to find great looking clothes that fit you just right. That's why I love JCPenney. JCPenney has so many stylish and comfortable options for so many different body types. I've been blown away by their selection and everything hugs my body in all the right spots. Refresh your wardrobe this spring with style that gets you. Something to wear that fits your favorite moments of the season at prices that feel just as good. Discover brands that get you and put style and comfort first, like Worthington and Liz Claiborne for her, each in women's petite and plus sizes. Here, spring comes in all shapes, sizes, and colors. JCPenney, make everybody count.
Hey everybody, it's Wednesday, November 8th, 2023. Welcome to the NFL Fantasy Football Show. It's me, your man, MG Marcus Grant, joined by Michael F. Florio. Coming up, we are previewing TNF and the early Sunday games for Week 10. Well, here we are. We've made it all the way to Week 10. We are more than a week into November. This thing's flying by.
Season is flying by, and this week, in my opinion, is going to be the worst week with buys and everything to set your lineup. Three of the best offenses in football, you just can't use them this week. So, yeah, we got to survive this week.
Yeah, we need to have a talk with somebody in the league office who thought it was a good idea to have the Chiefs, Eagles, and Dolphins all have the week off in the same week. Not to mention the Rams are off, so we miss Cooper Kupp and Puka Nacua. It's going to be rough to set lineups, especially at the quarterback position. But we're here to help. Let's get started, as we always do, with some fantasy headlines and a big one coming out of Minnesota. Justin Jefferson returned to Vikings practice on Wednesday. The team has a 21-day window to elevate him from injured reserve to the 53-man roster. Look, there's no doubt about it, right? Like, when he is back and available, he is back in your starting lineups. Chances are he was the number one pick. But we can feel confident in him, right? With Josh Dobbs, we didn't know this a couple weeks ago. We didn't know who's going to be the quarterback. But at least with Josh Dobbs, we can feel confident about Jefferson, right?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, it's better than how we should be feeling like a week ago when Kirk Cousins went down and we thought it would be Jaren Hall, the fifth-round rookie. And even he looked good. So if something happens to Dobbs, like they have a rookie that they can maybe trust a little bit. Yeah, I mean, you're starting Justin Jefferson the minute he returns, no matter what. But now at least you get some peace of mind.
That's exactly what we want, is peace of mind with Jefferson back in our lineup. Meanwhile, down in Tennessee, they are trying to get some peace of mind at the quarterback position. Head coach Mike Vrabel says that Will Levis, the rookie, will be starting for the rest of the 2023 season. We've seen a couple of good starts out of Levis so far this year. So earlier in the week, we played a game of who'd you rather for the rest of the season from different positions. I want to play another round with just Will Levis. We compare him against some other quarterbacks who are, in theory, sort of on his level. So, who'd you rather, Will Levis or Taylor Heinicke?
I would rather Will Levis. I know Taylor Heinicke, he's throwing the ball more downfield than Desmond Ridder did, but, and the weapons are nice in Atlanta, but his head coach is still Arthur Smith, which means they're just going to be doing weird things. Will Levis, I know the floor might not be great, but the ceiling, I believe, is really high, because even last week in a down performance, a lot of downfield throws.
Yeah, your point about the inconsistency of the play calling in Atlanta is what has me worried about Taylor Heinicke. So I'm with you. I'm going to go Will Levis there. Will Levis or Mac Jones?
Will Levis. I mean, what upside does Mac Jones bring us? Even in a good matchup a couple weeks ago, it was like, all right, he was all right, but that's it.
And neither one of them have very deep wide receiver cores, but Will Levis has DeAndre Hopkins and Mac Jones does not. All right, so here's another one. Will Levis or Geno Smith?
Ooh, I'm still going to stick with Geno here, even though I keep saying if Geno disappoints you this week, you could drop him. But he gets the Commanders, then the Rams, and he still has later in the year, he gets the Eagles, the Titans, the Steelers. So some favorable matchups, especially in the fantasy playoffs, that I'll still give Geno another chance.
So, yeah, I said that Will Levis has DeAndre Hopkins. Well, Geno Smith has DK Metcalf and Tyler Lockett. So those two, I think Trump just having Nuke alone. So Geno Smith wins for me there. And last one, Will Levis or Jordan Love. This one feels kind of easy.
Will Levis, because Jordan Love, outside of the first 3 weeks, it's been rough.
It has been rough for Jordan Love for a while now. Real quick, though, now that you know Levis is the starter and we've seen that Levis has no hesitation about going to DeAndre Hopkins, where are we ranking Nuke? Is he a top 15 guy the rest of the season?
I think like borderline, if not top 15, certainly top 20, because in the two games, he's given us 10.5 and 35. And that's a good floor and obviously a huge ceiling. And I'm expecting at least a couple of times a game that Will Levis is just going to chuck it downfield to D-Hop, which means that he'll always bring a high ceiling.
Yeah, the last 2 weeks, he's actually the wide receiver 3, but that feels very much inflated by the 30-plus point game he had a couple of weeks ago. I think you're looking more around, on average, probably 10 to 15 points per game. I think that's good enough to get him certainly in the top 20 and maybe knock on the door of the top 15. All right, let's get our attention to Thursday night football. It is the Carolina Panthers heading to Chicago to take on the Bears. You can see that game at 8:15 p.m. Eastern on Prime Video. On the Carolina side, they got their first win a couple of weeks ago, had a tough loss against the Colts last week, but Adam Thielen has been balling pretty much all season long. So let's set the number at 8, do a little more or less. 8 receptions for Adam Thielen, more or less?
More. Since week 2, Adam Thielen leads the NFL in receptions per game, and this is a game where I think it'll be close throughout, so the Panthers will have to, you know, continue to throw the ball, and it's not like they're going to have game script where they could just run all second half or something like that. So I'm expecting a big game out of Adam Thielen.
I'm expecting another good game out of Adam Thielen, and really, he has been it in the passing game, at least at the wide receiver position. He's got 610 receiving yards this year. That is more than all other Panthers wide receivers combined. It's been him or nothing. And so in a game where, as you mentioned, I think the Panthers will have to throw the ball, especially because they can't run it. I think you're going to see more than 8 catches for Adam Thielen in this one. Deontay Foreman has been playing really, really well. The Bears are expecting that Khalil Herbert will be back this week. The Panther run defense is atrocious. So more or less, half of a rushing touchdown for Deontay Foreman. So basically, can Deontay Foreman get in the end zone this week?
He definitely can, but I'm going to go less because I'm wish casting that touchdown goes to Khalil Herbert, who I need to start in a league or two because of all the buys this week. And the Panthers have allowed more touchdowns to running backs than anyone, so someone in that backfield is going to score. But if I had to take a pick on which one it will, I think Khalil Herbert has the highest odds.
I'm going to say more. I'm going to say Foreman scores the touchdown. I am interested to see what kind of workload they give Herbert after so much time off. And especially if, we don't know for sure, if Justin Fields plays. He is, I think, listed as doubtful for this game. So it may be another Tyson Bagent operation. I still think that you're going to see Herbert kind of eased back into his workload. So I think Foreman gets some work at the goal line. This might be the last big week for Deontay Foreman. And I think against Carolina, he finds the end zone there. So check that game out. Of course, Thursday night, 8:15 Eastern on Prime Video. Turning to the rest of week 10. We talked about it at the top of the show. 4 teams are on a bye. The Chiefs, the Rams, the Dolphins, and the Eagles. So that means no Patrick Mahomes, no Matthew Stafford, no Tua Tagovailoa, no Jalen Hurts. A slew of wide receivers are unavailable to you. Some good running backs not available to you as well. So we got to navigate this whole thing. It's not going to be pretty. We will start with the Colts and the Patriots. That game being played in Frankfurt, Germany. Second week in a row, the NFL goes to Frankfurt. 9:30 a.m. Eastern. You can see that game on NFL Network and stream it live on NFL Plus. Ramondre Stevenson's been okay the last couple of weeks. Any Patriots beyond that you would be willing to start?
Nope. look, Ramondre getting more pass game usage. He had the big long run last week. The Colts struggle against the run. All of that keeps him in play. Besides that, we've seen teams go overseas and not live up to their usual offensive output, like the Chiefs and Dolphins last week. The Patriots' normal offensive output is terrible. So I can only imagine what even worse than that will look like.
if you squint real hard, you could probably find a space for DeMario Douglas just because he's been the lead receiver there. Three straight games with at least six targets. But the passing game is brutal for New England. We sat here and both just said moments ago we would start Will Levis over Mac Jones. That's how bad it is. Even in good matchups, Mac Jones is still giving you like barely 200 passing yards. So hard to make a case for anybody. But if I could find anybody, it might be DeMario. I should say this. I think Hunter Henry has sleeper potential this week. The Colts are kind of meh against tight ends. So I think Hunter Henry has a chance to maybe score a touchdown this week. Browns at the Ravens, really good matchup, at least on paper, in the AFC North. Two teams very good defensively. Are you pulling anyone from your lineup in what could be maybe a low-scoring game?
Yeah, I want to pull a whole bunch of people out of my starting lineup from this game. Like Zay Flowers is someone I think you start most weeks. I would get him out. He really struggles against man coverage. Actually, the worst passer rating when targeted against it this year. And the Browns are on the fourth most. Man, I'm trying to sit Gus Edwards. I'm trying to sit David Njoku. Amari Cooper. You're starting Amari Cooper. Yeah. Deshaun Watson, though, I would try to sit. So a lot of people that I think that most weeks you could comfortably start just because I'm expecting this to be a very defensive battle.
I think it's going to be a very defensive battle. Though, admittedly, when these teams played earlier in the season, the Ravens ran off to a 28-3 win in that one. I think if I've been starting them before, even though the matchup looks bad, I'm still giving them a shot because Gus Edwards is getting those goal line opportunities, which helps. Zay Flowers last time around had three catches for 56 yards. Not great, not awful, especially in a week where you're going to be missing a lot of people. And I think that's sort of the thing for me.
Yeah.
So many guys are going to be missing that you're really going to be strong-armed into starting a lot of people. Any Browns pass catchers, though, not named Amari Cooper, can go to the bench. And that's not just for this week. That might just be for the rest of the season because they cannot consistently connect with anybody besides Amari Cooper in the passing game there. So I think you kind of hold your nose and you kind of start some guys and understand that the floor is a lot lower this week than it is probably more weeks. The Texans at the Bengals. C.J. Stroud coming off a historic game with 470 passing yards and five touchdowns. What are you expecting from them in an encore against a good Bengals defense?
480 and six.
Oh, sweet. Just up the ante every week.
Until he gets to 510. No, I obviously he's not going to give you what he did last week, but I think he's going to be good enough where you want to comfortably start him. And the floor we've seen is about like 14, 15 fantasy points, which isn't as high as we would like, but the ceiling is certainly worth starting. And that floor could only be elevating because every week that I watch him play, I'm like, oh, he looks even more comfortable and just better than he did earlier in the season. So that floor and ceiling could just keep getting raised. And this is a game where Joe Burrow and co are going to put up points. So CJ Stroud is going to have to throw.
He's going to have to throw the football. And so I think that makes him worthy of starting. But yeah, I mean, it goes without saying, you're not going to get, you know, almost 500 yards and five touchdowns out of CJ Stroud this week. But I do think he belongs in a lineup. Any particular pass catcher? Is this a Nico Collins week? Is this another Tank Dell week? Is this a Noah Brown week again?
I think you start Tank Dell and Nico Collins, especially given the week and how many teams are on bye and such. I have two teams, I believe, where I need to plug in Noah Brown because I am hit hard at injuries and byes at wide receiver this week. And yeah, it's not ideal taking out Tyreek Hill and putting in Noah Brown, but we got to do what we got to do this week.
Yeah, I mean, it's just what it is. I think Noah Brown's maybe the one guy that I'd be a little bit more concerned about.
Yeah, for sure.
But, in a pinch, you got to start him. You got to start him and hope that maybe he gives you something decent this week for your fantasy lineup. We're just getting started here on the show. We got plenty more games to get to on the Week 10 slate, including the first pick in the draft versus the last pick in the draft. A face-off this week in Jacksonville. We'll talk about that and more here on the NFL Fantasy Football Show.
You go into your shower feeling tired, but as soon as you reach for the Irish Spring, your day immediately gets better. That crisp, fresh, unmistakable Irish Spring scent zings your brain and awakens your senses. So when you finally emerge from the shower 37 minutes later because you pay the water bill so you can stay in there as long as you want, you're ready to take on the day and smell great doing it. Irish Spring body wash and bar soap. Fresh, green, Irish. Shop now at a store near you.
What's up? I'm John Wall.
And I'm CJ Toledano, and we're starting a new podcast presented by DraftKings called Point Game. We're now joined by three-time NBA Sixth Man of the Year, elite bucket getter. Let's please welcome Jamal Crawford to Point Game. King of the Court one-on-one tournament. If they had it back in your prime, do you think he could have took it all?
I'm going to be honest with you. I don't think I could have took it all, but I think I would have shocked a lot of people. I think Kobe and everybody in their prime, Kobe would win a one-on-one contest.
Yeah, because you got to think, he's going to guard. He don't care about guarding.
He's going to guard.
He's going to guard. Like, you see him in the Olympics, he's going to guard. And then on top of that.
Like that, see that?
Ladies and gentlemen, please welcome Sam Cassell to Point Game.
I remember you came to my room crying tears. I mean, he was in a culture shock. And then he's going to withdraw us about winning.
Remember what I told you? I said, OG, you think I can get paid and go back and play in college because it ain't Nick?
Check out Point Game with John Wall and CJ Toledano on the iHeartRadio app, DraftKings YouTube, or wherever you get your podcasts.
49ers at the Jaguars. The Niners coming off the bye. They have lost three in a row trying to get it back together. The Jaguars on a five-game winning streak and trying to stay atop the division in the AFC South. Also, an interesting matchup. You got the first pick in the 2021 draft in Trevor Lawrence going against the last pick in the 2022 draft in Brock Purdy. So who scores more fantasy points? Is it going to be Trevor Lawrence or is it going to be Brock Purdy? With the caveat that Brock Purdy may have Deebo Samuel back this week.
Ooh, this gives me Game of Thrones vibes, right? Like Trevor Lawrence is the prince that was promised and then Brock Purdy just arrives and like
things didn't work out well for the prince who was promised.
No, I was trying to navigate around that. I think it's Brock Purdy. I think he's going to score more points. Ooh. One, Deebo Samuel's back and his numbers with Deebo compared to without are way better. I trust their playmakers there a little bit more. And the Jaguars have been a very favorable matchup as well this year. They're in the top 10 in fantasy points per game and yards allowed to quarterbacks. But the Niners have struggled as of late against the pass as well. So I think you could get both, especially given the state of quarterback. I think both are starting options.
I think they're both starting options this week. I'm going to go with Trevor Lawrence. I will admit that some of this may be me as a pessimistic 49ers fan who's watched this defense struggle over the last few weeks. But they are giving up a lot of yards. They are struggling to tackle. We'll see whether or not they're able to fix some things in the bye week. Of course, they do add Chase Young to add to that pass rushing front. But Trevor Lawrence spreading the ball around to a lot of his playmakers. I think you're going to see big games from Christian Kirk and from Evan Ingram as well. So give me Trevor Lawrence over Brock Purdy in terms of scoring more fantasy points. Saints at the Vikings. Josh Dobbs was the story of the week last week. Didn't even know his own teammates' names, but went out there and came from behind to beat the Atlanta Falcons. So we talked about it at the top of the show. We feel okay about Justin Jefferson when he gets back on the field. Does the Josh Dobbs magic continue enough that you feel okay with, say, Jordan Addison and TJ Hawkinson?
I think so. And I think we could kind of look a little bit to what Dobbs did in Arizona and get a little hint there. The two things that were good in Arizona were Marquise Brown, who he would air the ball out to downfield and stuff like that. That is Jordan Addison in this as of now with no Justin Jefferson. And then he was peppering their tight ends with targets. With Dobbs there, they had a 32% target share for the Cardinals tight ends. So TJ Hawkinson is going to be very much so in play. I also think Dobbs is just a streaming option this week because you saw what he did last week. Now he's actually going to know the playbook a little bit. He's going to know people's names a little bit more. So if anyone could get it done, it is a literal rocket science.
I mean, yeah, right. You see the tweet that NASA put out? It's Josh Dobbs actually in an astronaut suit and they nicknamed the Pastronaut, which I kind of dig it. I do think Dobbs is a nice streaming option this week though against New Orleans. I'm just very comfortable with starting Addison and Hawkinson. Even to some extent, Alexander Mattison, even though they're struggling to run the football effectively, I do think he's going to get some targets now that Cam Akers is out for the remainder of the season. That means a lot more volume for Alexander Mattison. So it's not great. It's not exciting, but I do think he's potentially startable this week if you're in a pinch and need some running back help. The Packers at the Steelers, a matchup of two legacy franchises in the NFL that, let's be honest, haven't really been fun to watch offensively lately. I think I saw a stat in our research packet that the Steelers have had fewer than 400 total yards of offense in 56 straight games.
Wow. And that's, they somehow continue to post a winning
They're
record.
They're 5-3 right now. Like, I can't figure it out.
Mike Tomlin does not get enough credit.
He's a wizard. He's a wizard. And half the folks in Pittsburgh want him out. Like, be careful what you wish for. That's all I'm saying about that. But anyway, looking at the Steelers offense, can you trust George Pickens, rather, now that Deontay Johnson is back? And do you trust any of the running backs in this game?
George Pickens, it's probably a situation where in most cases, because of the buys and all of that, you probably need to just play him because the upside is still high. I'm not going to say that it's not, but he is so boom or bust when Deontay Johnson is out there, because Johnson is going to get those short, consistent targets. And then Pickens is, you talk about it all the time, they're just going to basically tell him run downfield. Yeah. And Kenny Pickett cannot win downfield. So it's so boom or bust for George Pickens. As for the running backs, Aaron Jones is very much so in play. I think AJ Dillon is in play if you're in need of a bye week replacement or something like that. And that's why I think normally, you know, I'm not a fan of this Steelers backfield, but given the circumstances and the week and everything, like, I have to play Jaylen Warren in a league, and I'm sure many people out there need to play Najee Harris and Jaylen Warren.
I think you're going to be forced into it, but in terms of the running backs, Aaron Jones is the one guy that I feel okay about. They seem to have taken the leash off of him a little bit, gave him 20 carries last week against the Rams, and he looked better. He looked more effective, and so hopefully he's back to the Aaron Jones we thought we were getting when we drafted back at the end of the summer, so I feel good about him. The whole George Pickens, Deontay Johnson thing, it's sort of a mystery to me, because when Johnson wasn't there, you had Pickens running a wide variety of routes and they were finding ways to get the football. Then all of a sudden, Deontay Johnson comes back, and instead of maybe having two guys running a wide variety of routes, as you said, they just say, George Pickens, go run long. And then maybe once in a while, we'll throw it to you. And maybe once in a while, that'll be in bounds. Although, George, it's sort of on you when you don't drag your toe in the corner of the end zone. That one's on you. That was actually a good throw from Kenny Pickett, and you just didn't complete the catch. But it is worrisome, but the ceiling is really high, and that might be enough reason to put him in the lineup against Green Bay. Also, don't let Green Bay's offensive struggles distract you from the fact that the Packers' defense has been kind of bad this year. So there's that. All right, Titans at the Buccaneers. We talked about Will Levis and all the guys we may or may not start over him. But what about Baker? Does Baker keep it rolling? And can we count on Rashad White again this week?
I think Baker keeps it rolling this week. He gave you over 19 fantasy points in two straight games this year. He is 4 over 18 and just 2 under 16. So in my opinion, as far as streamers go, that is a safe floor, high ceiling. And then their run game hasn't really been working, so they've been throwing the ball more. It's led to good things for both Baker Mayfield and Rashad White, because we talk about it a lot. A target is worth like 3 carries on average, and Rashad White's doing nothing with those carries, but he has at least 4 catches and 45 receiving yards in 3 straight games. That's why he's had his best stretch as a fantasy player in those last 3 weeks. So, and the Titans don't scare me. They struggle against pass catching running backs. They've given up a whole bunch of rushing yards the last 5 or 6 weeks to running backs. So yeah, I think this is a week to get both of those Bucks into your lineup.
I mean, look, Rashad White, his value has bumped up because he's getting those short targets, right? I mean, We didn't love him when he was just getting straight carries. Now he's getting targets. It's, you know, look, however you feel about PPR, this is the world we live in. And so you might as well just take advantage of that loophole and use Rashad White. And I keep saying it. A couple of weeks ago, somebody asked me, would I take James Cook or Rashad White? My knee-jerk reaction was like, oh yeah, of course it's James Cook. Until I dug in and looked at it, was realizing, oh, it's way closer than I thought. And I think at this point, Rashad White may have surpassed James Cook in terms of his production and what the offense is asking of him. I want to ask you real quick, though, about Chris Godwin, because he only has 1 touchdown this year, only has 1 100-yard game this year. I mean, like, the last 3 games haven't really been great. Like, a couple weeks ago, he gave you 16 yards, 54 yards, did have that touchdown, 66 yards. He's got more games under 60 yards than he does over 60 yards. Can we feel confident about having him in lineups right now?
We're never going to get the Chris, at least right now, we're never going to get the Chris Godwin production that we got accustomed to with Tom Brady the last couple of years, but he's still, looking at his game log, has 2 games under 10 fantasy points. Look, the ceiling is very low. He twice, I believe, has topped 14. So he's really sitting in that 10 to 14 fantasy point range, which is someone that I think you want as your on your bench most weeks and you could plug in just in case. But like a week like this one, I think you can get Chris Godwin into you just because lack of options.
Yeah, lack of options. And the Titans generally have been pretty friendly to wide receivers. So I think that sort of gives Godwin a little bit of an opportunity to go out there and produce. But this has not been what we thought of. Although it's funny, I think it's the opposite of what I thought it was going to be, where I thought it was going to be a lot of Chris Godwin and not so much Mike Evans. Same. But instead it's been the Mike Evans show, and Chris Godwin has been the second fiddle in the passing game.
There was a stretch where everyone was like, oh, Godwin is the better of the no. Godwin is very good, but Mike Evans is a Hall of Famer.
He really is. Plus, I think it does have something to do with the quarterback, and people have pointed this out, that Tom Brady's a guy, he was going to go through the progressions. If you were open, he would throw it to you. Baker Mayfield's like, F it, man. Mike's going to make a play.
I'm going to get these yards somehow. Right, just heaving it.
Mike's going to make a play. I'm going to just throw it in that direction and hope he comes down with it. And so that has helped Evans over Godwin so far this season. That'll do it for this edition of the NFL Fantasy Football Show. Stay happy, safe, and healthy. Do good and live well. We're back tomorrow to preview the rest of the Week 10 matchups.
You go into your shower feeling tired, but as soon as you reach for the Irish Spring, your day immediately gets better. That crisp, fresh, unmistakable Irish Spring scent zings your brain and awakens your senses. So when you finally emerge from the shower 37 minutes later because you pay the water bill so you can stay in there as long as you want, you're ready to take on the day and smell great doing it. Irish Spring body wash and bar soap. Fresh, green, Irish. Shop now at a store near you.
Hey guys, you know what this playground could use? A wine country, huh?
A redwood forest would be cool.
Ski slopes!
Wait! Did we just invent California?
Discover why California is the ultimate playground at visitcalifornia.com.
At JCPenney, fashion counts for everybody and everybody. The weather is getting warmer and it's time to swap my winter layers for fun, vibrant, and cool clothing. With so many fun things happening this spring, like Mother's Day and the Wind Down Tour, it's hard to find great looking clothes that fit you just right. That's why I love JCPenney. JCPenney has so many stylish and comfortable options for so many different body types. I've been blown away by their selection, and everything hugs my body in all the right spots. Refresh your wardrobe this spring with style that gets you. Something to wear that fits your favorite moments of the season at prices that feel just as good. Discover brands that get you and put style and comfort first, like Worthington and Liz Claiborne for her, each in women's petite and plus sizes. Here, spring comes in all shapes, sizes, and colors. JCPenney, make everybody count.